This is Radio Superior 1950, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, Jack McKenna speaking. It's Wednesday, November 29th, 1950. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news. The museum curator is in. So is the Cracker Barrel lady. And we have some great music for you, too. Hey, Lou, what's wrong?
My back is killing me.
This is great.
How can agonizing back problems be great?
Because we always solve our problems during the show. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Branzer's Fine Clothing. Get warmth and a good price with a storm coat for $49.50. And good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Ouch.
Easy, boy. Easy. We all know reading the news is back-breaking work.
The United States is charging Red China with mass aggression by entering the fight in Korea. We begin our world report from Washington.
This is Jack Bell in the nation's capital. The United States decided today to charge Communist China with aggression in Korea. Assistant Secretary of State John Hickerson so advised the American delegation at the United Nations. Hickerson telephoned Ambassador Warren R. Austin shortly before today's U.N. Security Council meeting at New York. It is considered possible here that Austin would make the aggression charge publicly almost at once. Hickerson instructed Austin to press for immediate adoption by the U.N. of the pending resolution, which would call on the Chinese Reds to get their troops out of Korea and assure them the United Nations only seek peace and Korean independence. State Department Press Officer Michael J. McDermott says the intervention by Chinese troops is aggression by the communist Chinese regime. In Washington, this is Jack Bell reporting.
Your columnist Drew Pearson here with the Washington merry-go-round. Judging from conversation heard in Capitol Hill cloakrooms, the current session of Congress may approach the post-World War I days of Woodrow Wilson. In the November 1918 election, Wilson lost control of the House of Representatives, and from that time on, opposition to his foreign policies increased, resulting in the defeat of the League of Nations and the Versailles Treaty. Many leaders of both parties felt that this paralyzed the nation and paved the way for World War II. In November 1918, we were winning in Europe. The armistice was signed on November 11th, just a few days after the election, but Wilson lost control of the House anyway. In November 1950, the U.S. was likewise on the eve of victory in Korea, yet Mr. Truman, keeping a scant edge in Congress, for all practical purposes, lost control of the Senate. The main issue contributing to Truman's setback is attacks led by Senator McCarthy on the State Department and its Chinese policy. Senator McCarthy has now proved that his formula of isolation plus investigating communists pays political dividends. The little group of Republican isolationists now not only has a vigorous spokesman, but a demonstration that their tactics pay. Senator Taft's big victory in Ohio also puts him more firmly in this camp. In the past, Taft did not really believe McCarthy's wild charges against the State Department, but went along for political reasons. Now the two are likely to cooperate closely. Diametrically opposed to the isolationists is another group of GOP senators. They include various Easterners who are bitterly opposed to both isolation and McCarthyism. The man who did most to keep foreign policy on an even keel is now absent from the Senate. Arthur Vandenberg of Michigan, once an isolationist, he saw the dangers of repeating what happened after World War I. So, by conferring back and forth with the State Department, Vandenberg modified State Department policies, swung recalcitrant GOP colleagues into line, and performed a magnificent service for his country. Now, Vandenberg is ill, and contrary to expectations, he will probably not be back. Unfortunately, he can never be active in the Senate again. Vandenberg's absence leaves a hole in terms of future peace. The man Vandenberg had hoped might fill his shoes is Henry Cabot Lodge of Massachusetts, an A1 senator, but young. Senate jealousy being what it is, many Republicans won't follow Lodge. Even so, election figures sent from Wisconsin raised doubt as to whether McCarthyism really pays. Unquestionably, it paid in certain states, but not in McCarthy's home state. Wherever McCarthy campaigned in Wisconsin, Republicans usually lost votes, despite the national trend in their favor. in D.C. This is Drew Pearson.
Westbrook Pegler here in the Big Apple. When is a German sufficiently denazified to justify us in trusting him to find a way to protect us against Russia? Not many Roosevelt-Truman people could pass a fair denazification test. If you believe the government should have the power to punish you for believing yourself to be racially superior, you are a Nazi. This is a special peculiarity of National Socialism or Nazism. The Nazi was required to believe that Germans were a master race, or American Nazis would force all of us to think that all races are equal. I don't think about it at all. I like to be what I am, meaning no reflection on any other kind of human being. I hope the other fellow likes to be what he is. As I say, it seldom enters my reflections, but our Nazis won't let us alone. They keep dinning at us that all races are equal. You are a Nazi if you think otherwise. Such thoughts are genocidal. You are murdering a race. When you put it to me that way, I get my back up. Don't tell me what I have to think, you dirty Nazi. In New York, this is Westbrook Pegler.
Flash from New Delhi, India. A reliable report says today that the Tibetan delegation was en route to Lhasa, the Dalai Lama's capital, to western China in an attempt to negotiate peace with invading communists. From Taipei, Formosa, 14 accused communist agents were executed Monday. It was the largest number put to death since the anti-Red Purge began on that nationalist stronghold last spring. New York, Margaret Truman no longer taking singing instructions from Helen Trouble. The Metropolitan Opera star has shifted to a regular singing coach, Sydney Deutsch of Danbury, Connecticut. Miss Truman announced the change yesterday. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has this message from Branzer's Clothing Store.
Hey, folks. Got your storm coat yet, you guys out there? Get more warmth, wear, and satisfaction in a Branzer storm coat. Just $49.50. No lie. Warm as toast and handsome, too. Generous mouton collar, lustrous 40% wool, 60% rayon gabardine, full alpaca pile body and sleeve lining. Oh boy, it gets better as we go on. All sizes. Get yours tomorrow and beat winter to the putt. Other storm coats cost maybe $65, so you can see this is a great buy. From Branzer's Clothing in Superior, 1316 Tower. Okay, Lou.
If the 340 full-time city employees are granted a $25 per month salary increase, it would mean an additional $102,000 will be spent next year in Superior. The City Council gave tentative approval to such an increase. It did so after considering City Manager Robert Bomberger's proposed 1951 budget. Bomberger pointed out, from his survey, private wage earners in the community have enjoyed an average pay increase of 100% since 1939. But city employees' wages have increased only an average of 63%. The $25 boost would make the total 80%. The steamer John Rice arrived at the Rice coal dock with the final coal cargo for the Ashland shipping season. The Rice will load ore at the Soo Line tomorrow night with the last cargo of iron ore from the Soo Line dock. A Minneapolis architectural firm, Magny, Tesler, and Sitter, has been commissioned to start drawings for a 20-bed hospital to be built next year by the Hayward Area Memorial Hospital Association. Association Chairman Julius Gillich of Hayward says the hospital will cost $275,000. He says the Hayward Group plans a fundraising campaign shortly after the first of the year and indicated that half the total cost would be borne by the federal government under the Hill-Burton Hospital Act. The nearest hospital is in Ashland, 50 miles away. The Salvation Army Rural Service Unit wants to thank all the contributors who've answered their recent mail appeal, Mrs. Frieda George of Grandview has announced. Funds subscribed will pay for food and shelter for the homeless, provide emergency relief for family welfare, healthful and carefree vacations at summer camp for children, expert medical care and haven from fear by the Salvation Army homes, and hospitals for the unmarried mothers, as well as spiritual and character-building activities. Jack?
How's the back?
I'm painfully aware that it's still there.
Have faith, old buddy. We'll get it fixed.
Don't even think of touching my back.
Lou Martin, ladies and gentlemen, the touchiest newsman in town. Let's check now our forecast for this Wednesday, November 29th, 1950. A few snow flurries, with a high of 28 degrees tomorrow, and a low tonight of 14. But now it's music time. Here's a new group, the Platters, with Twilight Time on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Heavenly shades of night are falling, it's twilight time. Out of the mist your voice is calling, 'tis twilight time. When purple-colored curtains mark the end of day, I'll hear you, my dear, at twilight time. Deepening shadows gather splendor as day is done. Fingers of night will soon surrender the setting sun. I count the moments, darling, till you're here with me. Together, at last, at twilight time. In the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous in the blue. In the sweet and same old way, I fall in love again. That fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you. Together, at last, at twilight time. Here, in the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous. Sweet and same way, I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will thrill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you together. At last, at twilight time, together, at last, at twilight time.
The Platters and Twilight Time on station KUWS. Now, this message from Uncle Sam.
The United States Army needs red-blooded men now as it never has before. The future of your family and the future of the United States is at stake. You, American youth, are the only ones who can do something about it. Enlist now in the U.S. Army. Hundreds of specialized operations must be filled by you, young men, the backbone of our country. Radio men, cooks, electricians, drivers, mechanics, radar operators are needed. Men with those qualifications will be given Army training to build a career. The United States is you. Us. All of us. If you believe in your country, a free democracy that gives you every advantage in the world, an army that gives you the best food in the world, clothes you, houses you, and provides free medical and dental care as you train, then you will take the opportunities offered by the greatest army in all history. Join the Army now.
Yes, sir, amen. The U.S. Army recruiter is William Barnhart, a recruiter at 1401 Tower Avenue. Phone 9223. Now for your enjoyment, here's Connie Francis and My Happiness on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Evening shadows make me blue. My happiness.
Connie Francis and My Happiness on Station KUWS.
Let me introduce Miss Lucille Ham with her popular Over the Cracker Barrel column. And I see you have a friend, too.
Yes, Mr. Martin. This is Frederica Germanero.
Call me Fred. Put her there, Martin.
Say, Miss Germanero, you're in pretty good shape.
Fred. It's Fred. At Chop Logs. Glad to meet you, too.
Don't hurt me. You have a pretty good grip, honey.
Job. Hit me!
We're playing cards now?
Go ahead, right in the bread box.
Now, Freddy, you're imposing on these nice gentlemen. She's proud of her stomach. She uses the medicine ball religiously.
I see a couple of flabby stomachs in the room.
Well, that's because Lou eats the cheese balls religiously.
Maybe if I start over, this will all go away. Now, Miss Lucille Ham with Over the Cracker Barrel.
I bet the only thing Fred crags is her knuckles.
I brought Fred along to emphasize the need for good physical conditioning. She's got some good advice.
I'll be leading everyone in jumping jacks shortly. Americans are too flabby. We need more sit-ups and chin-ups and fewer soft seats and double chins. Lewis, go ahead. Do your thing. Then I'll do mine.
Good evening, Upper Wisconsin. A little evergreen at the bottom of the hill at Pattison Park is shining out a message of Yuletide. The Robert McGowans got the Christmas spirit early and decided to string lights and touch the switch for a preview invitation for mankind. Meanwhile, nature too became busy and lightly dropped snow to enhance the picture. Glad to see women accepting responsible positions in upstate communities. A rarity in any area is having a woman doctor. Well, Polk County has two. Dr. Lillian Nelson has opened offices in Centuria. And earlier this year, Dr. Stella Burdett, wife of Leo Burdett, set up her shingle in Balsam Lake, which heretofore had been doctorless.
Would you stop chewing so loudly?
It's hard to eat crackers quietly, Lou. I'm just getting in the spirit of Lucy's column. Want one?
No.
Women, too, have had the support of the masses for the responsibility of sheriff. Mrs. Catherine Moore is returned to that position by Polk County voters. Rather interesting to add is that her husband is in the office of Under-sheriff. Although listed as having a population of 143, Glen Flora is very much club-minded. In that small Rusk County community, there are four homemaker groups: the Walrath Women's Club, Busy Bees, Go-Aheads, East Glen Flora, three 4-H clubs, the Omni Patty Dune, Happy Hustlers, Onaways, Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist Women's Societies, with the Catholic Women affiliated with the Tony Society, the Women's Federated Club, and the Election Study Club. Impressive.
Thank you, Miss Lucille Ham.
Sheesh. My guess is that men are pretty lonely in Glen Flora. Here's Prez Prado and Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White on the Lucy Jackie Loon Show.
Fez Prado and Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White on Station KUWS. Hey, what's Fred doing over there in the corner? What's he doing?
Stretching. It looks painful. Now let me introduce Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stowe. Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening.
Say, pal, what's wrong with you? You sick or something?
I am fine.
I've got just the thing to put color back in those pale cheeks.
You'll need to make a withdrawal from the blood bank.
You look like you weigh all of 98 pounds.
Yes, perhaps I could have a little assistance here, Lou.
You've been looking back 40 years ago to 1910, Mr. Stowe.
Yes, it was a very elegant time. The Gilded Age was still upon us. An evening's distraction could be a breathtaking evening in the opera house in Superior, or just a game of cards. I remember 40 years ago this very night, yes, we were hosted by Mr. and Mrs. Victor Linley and their daughter, Mrs. Lyman Powell. We played hearts. But also, on that date in Superior's history, Ninth Ward Councilman Robert Kennedy, yes, he would go on to be the district attorney, he proposed to the city council that the streetcar company put big cars on the Billings Park line, which ran over the 21st Street Viaduct. Yes, it was a more civil time before all the traffic and rushing from place to place. You could get a bench on the streetcar and ride late into the night. What an evening it was. Mrs. Martin Pattison gave a tea in honor of the soon-to-be-betrothed Miss Zoa Grace. That was part of a more sociable time. Why, 40 years ago, that was the same night of the annual banquet of the Stein Club. It was held at the Truax Block. Everyone was there, yes. I recall Dr. David August. Dr. W. E. Hatch was there, too.
But they couldn't cure your condition?
No. Nobody can.
Why is he talking like he was there?
I have a theory about that.
Leave Mr. Stowe alone. Continue, please.
Yes, but don't pick on me. But I am done, Mr. Martin.
You've got a problem with bullies kicking sand in your face at the beach, don't you, pal? You can tell me.
I never frequent the beach unless it's at night and there is no moon.
Whew. Now our last number of the evening. This is Lloyd Price and Personality on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Loosen up, limber up, and stretch out. Get ready for calisthenics.
Yes, I mean, no.
Over and over, I try to prove my love to you. Over and over, what more?
Personality,
talk with
personality.
Lloyd Price and personality on station KUWS.
It's physical fitness time, and you listeners at home can join in.
It's go time!
Yes, and I've got to go.
My back's killing me.
Limbering sounds hard.
What a sorry lot you call yourselves men.
I think we're going to be a lot of sorry men pretty soon.
All of you need to do less time sitting on streetcars and sipping out of steins. Jerry, you stick with me. I'll put a hue back in those cheeks of yours. McKenna, it's time to get you in shape for the holidays.
I'm in perfect shape. I did tummy stretches over Thanksgiving by eating plenty of turkey and dressing.
And you, the newsman with no hips and a bad back, over here.
It hurts to move.
Just sit still there, then.
Oh, don't be nervous, Lou. She's really, really good at this.
At what? Hey.
I'll put my arms like so, your neck like this, and...
Oh! You okay, Lou?
He's ready for some jumping jacks.
Hey, Fabrica fixed my back. I feel like a million bucks.
See? I told you we'd fix your back.
What do you mean, we?
Stay tuned for Baby Snooks, Beulah, and Dr. IQ, folks. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and Fred puts the fit back into our physical fitness.
Yes, I'm afraid.
For Lou Martin and the poor curator, this is Jack McKenna, wishing one and all a good night.
Put your arms out so your fingers touching the person standing next to you.
I didn't know your fingers were so bony, Lou.
You should feel the curator's fingers. Oh, boy.
All right, jelly belly beans, sound off.
One, two.
Yes, three.
Count with me together, men. Ready? Okay, one.
Two. Three. Four. Five. Six.
Keep it together, people. Keep it together.
I don't believe I'll be returning here.
I don't mind. I mean, I was made for this. After all, these are jumping jacks.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1950, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Danielle Kading, Kathy Berggren, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1950 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.